All right, everyone, it's the Grim Lord here, and this is Grimm's Uncanny Valley. We're back with Between Two Worlds. Yeah, I figured that'll work because we're already pretty far into it, so we might as well go through this and how to fix the future. So, what we're going to do is every other week we're going to switch them around. So, next week you're going to get Monster College and Lust Academy. Then the week after that, you're going to get How to Fix the Future and more of this. And then we're just going to do vice versa. We're going to switch them. That way you guys are getting plenty of content every weekend. Thorin smiles at the fox, more amused than anything. Oh, this is great, thank you. I don't mind sharing at all. My name is Thorin, by the way. The girl you first spoke to, that's Kesrae, and Tosca next to her. The fox turns, bowing to each of the girls in turn. Over on the other side, the larger man is Joram. Then you have the Grim Lord and Raylana sitting next to him. Raylana. Once again, another round of bowing as each person is introduced. You hear a small yelp from Kesrae, and looking over, you see one of the new friends has jumped into her lap, cuddling against her. Oh dear, you'll need to excuse young Pithae. She is very friendly, and she loves to be close to humans. If she bothers you too much, let me know. Kesrae begins to say something, but the fox quickly turns back to Thorin, speaking again. My name is Afin. It is an incredible honor and pleasure to meet all of you. Come, come, let us enjoy the drinks and get to know each other. Thorin laughs, thoroughly enjoying the situation. She puts out a hand to Afin, who places a paw into it. Afin, thank you for this. It's our pleasure as well. You seem to be incredibly fun, and we'd love to share your company for a while. While I agree, I have to ask, what is in the bottles? Sure, you can't expect us to just drink a random drink summoned by a creature we don't know. Oh, I understand. You have nothing to worry about, I promise. Look, I'll even take the first drink. Afin takes the bottle from Tosca, quickly taking a sip before returning it to her. He spreads his arms, showing no ill effects from the drink. Thorin, wanting to be careful, passes her bottle over to Joram. He takes a moment to check it for both magical properties and possible health issues. He shrugs, not being able to find anything wrong with it, and takes a sip of his own. Hey, Afin, could you... Hold on, Kes, we'll get to you in a moment. Everyone looks at Joram, waiting for him to say something. Well, almost everyone. Kesrae is having her own issues. After a moment, Joram shrugs again, finding no reason to complain about the drink, and passes it back to Thorin. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I will say it tastes amazing, and I feel incredibly warm inside. Definitely alcohol in there. Thorin takes Joram's word, raising the small bottle in a sort of toast to Afin. She puts it to her lips, tipping it back and taking a slightly larger drink. Tosca watches for a second before deciding to take a drink of her own. She then tosses the bottle over to you. That's really good. Thank you, Afin. Oh, not at all. Thank you. It is our joy to share with those we meet on our travels. Do you travel a lot? Where are you heading now? Oh, yes, we're always moving through the world, meeting new people. You only have one life. Why should it be spent sitting in a single place when there is so much to explore? Guys, can I get some help over? That is a really positive way to look at things, though there is something to be said about settling down and building up a life. Oh, I'm sure there is. That just isn't the way for our people. We have a deep desire to be out in the world. It isn't until we grow old and weary that we put down roots and find a permanent home, and only then because it's too difficult to travel. I've never heard of your people before. Are there many of you? No, not really. One of the downsides of our travels is that we rarely have an opportunity to meet our own. It makes it rather difficult to create families, so our people are very limited in number. Seriously, can someone give me... These are your offspring, though? Where's their mother? Females of our species stay together, away from the males. We only interact when it's time to mate. Then the babies go off with the father to explore. That is certainly an interesting way of doing things. I can't imagine the wonders you've seen. Afin! Everyone looks over to Kesrae, who is still trying to deal with the young foxes. Can you please get your offspring off of me? I really don't want to hurt them. Oh, my most sincere apologies. They must truly like you. Pithae, Daello, come. Leave the poor girl be. The two fox children jump down, rushing to stand next to their father. Kesrae takes a moment to brush herself off, finding little bits of shed fur on her armor. Seems kids just like you, Kes. Maybe you should have a few of your own. Yeah, that's not on the menu. If I wanted that kind of responsibility, I'd get a dog. Unfortunately, based on what happened in Artley, there seems to be some kind of all-powerful dog-hating god who doesn't let us have pets. Effin sends the children off to play, then seems to clear his throat, moving on from the topic. So, where might you all be headed on this fine afternoon, if you are so inclined to share? We're on a quest, though our exact destination we don't know. We have only a small bit of information to go on. Oh, do tell. We've explored all throughout this area. Surely there is no place we don't know about. Well, we all know... Well, all we know is that there is an old abandoned church. Very small, run down, probably on the verge of collapse. It has a stone foundation. Sits in a rocky clearing, with smaller trees around it. Oh, I believe I know the place you speak of. It is a little more than a day's travel from here. You should be able to make it by tomorrow afternoon. That's great news. So can you point us in the right direction then? Unfortunately, no. What? Why not? You just said that you knew where the place was. Well, you see, the whole area is now cursed. Humans such as yourself can't get anywhere close. If you were to try, your death would be slow and painful. Why don't you let us worry about that? It's our problem, not yours. I cannot, in good conscience, send you all to your death. That just wouldn't do. No, sir. That being said, I can put you on a path to a place that can help you get there with your beautiful skin intact. Not too far from here, there is a temple to the goddess Alora. If she deems you worthy, you may receive her blessings of light. That would provide you with the protection you need to pass safely through the cursed lands. Thank you. We will certainly seek out her help. Can you give us directions? Effin quickly describes in amazing detail how to get to the temple. Understand, there is no guarantee of her help. You must prove yourself to her. Do not underestimate the difficulty of her tasks. One thing to be aware of, avoid steps 2, 6, and 9. I won't say anything more. Standing fully, he looks at each of you in turn before settling his gaze on Kesray. If you wish to seek her help before nightfall, you will need to set out immediately. The light won't hold much longer. It was a pleasure to meet all of you, and now we shall depart. You may keep the rest of those drinks. They should last you a while. If you're ever feeling down and out, just take a little drink, and you'll be surprised at how quickly you feel better. It was great to meet you, Effin. I hope we run into each other again. Oh yes, so great. You weren't the one being used like a playground. The Fox family quickly heads away, leaving the group behind. Well, that was something. Let's put these drinks away now. Even the one sip I had has me a bit buzzed, and we still have some distance to cover. Agreed. Let's head out. I feel full of energy now. Wait, I didn't get to try it, though. Onward to glory! No, I want to try the alcohol. Everyone starts heading south again, with Kesray bringing up the rear, grumbling about not having one of the drinks. Following the directions provided by Affin, you have no problem finding the place he spoke of. Though as you approach, it doesn't quite seem to be what you expected. Instead of a fancy religious temple, you find an old crumbling structure. It is plainly obvious that it was once a wondrous place of worship, but it seems unlikely that anyone has been here in decades or longer. Strangely though, it seems rather small. The light of day is unable to penetrate through the single doorway on the front of the building. The group approaches slowly, cautiously, not entirely sure what to expect. Are you sure this is the place? Sure doesn't seem like a place of worship for a benevolent goddess. More likely to be something dark and evil. This is where Affin said it was exactly, though I admit I didn't expect this. I didn't get any evil vibes from him. I don't think he was trying to lead us astray. The group falls silent, simply standing, staring at the structure, not entirely sure how to proceed. Suddenly, Ray Liana steps forward, moving towards the doorway. Ray, what are you doing? The girl doesn't respond, simply taking another few steps towards the building. Tharing quickly moves in front of her, layering her hands on the girl's shoulders and stopping her. Ray, hey, wake up, snap out of it. She looks up at Tharing, her face blank of any expression. After a moment, she blinks several times before seeming to come to her senses. Whoa, what just happened? You just started walking forward, completely ignoring us, like you were on autopilot. Weird, I don't know. It's like I teleported forward a few feet and you were suddenly in front of me. Tharine turns around, looking back towards the doorway as the group falls silent once more. Hey, Grim, maybe it would help if you could see into this place. Excuse me. Hey, Grim, maybe it would help if we could see into this place. Can you do something about that? Yeah, let me give it a try. Stepping forward, you move your hands, working to summon a ball of light within the darkness. There's a flash of light, a small eruption of sparks, but the ball fails to materialize. Is there a problem? No, I got this. I must have done something wrong. Squaring your feet and shoulders, you focus and try again. The air around you shimmers with power as you focus your strength. Still, no light appears within the darkness. Not even the sparks this time. You drop your hands to your sides, breathing heavily with the strain. I don't get it. It feels like something is fighting me. I can feel the power flow through me, but it's not going anywhere. Well, that's a problem then. I'm not going in there without being able to see. Don't know. Kind of feels like we're not supposed to know what's on the other side. We just have to take, shit. What's the saying? Where you just go with it? Leap of faith? Yeah, that's it. I think we just need to take a leap of faith. Hope for the best, you know? Easy for you to say. You're the one with a patron deity to protect you. I don't have that little safety net or belief. Fine, I'll go first. You can have faith in me. He walks forward, confident in himself and his choice. No one moves to stop him, simply watching him anxiously. Approaching the doorway, he stops, running a hand along the stone. Taking a breath, he steps forward into the darkness and immediately disappears. That's not good, right? Tharine quickly runs up the steps, stopping in front of the dark abyss. She hesitates for a moment, not entirely sure what to do next. Tharine, you're not going to just follow him, are you? We have no idea what just happened. I want to test something. She reaches up, putting her hand into the darkness. It instantly disappears. Quickly pulling back, she grabs her hand. Weird, it tingles, but when it was in the darkness, it felt like it was just gone. Like I no longer had a hand. It didn't hurt, though. She looks back at the rest of you before seeming to make a decision. Turning again, she walks through and quickly disappears. Well, looks like we're doing this. Tosca quickly runs up and through the darkness, following Tharine. You begin moving towards the doorway, Reliana falling right behind, taking your hand in hers. Grim, stop! This is insane! We have no idea what's going on in here! We don't have much choice here, Kes. Our friends have already gone. They may need our help. We're going. Stay here if you're scared. You hear her stomp and grumble a bit before she calls out again and you hear her begin walking. I swear to God, if we all die, I'm going to kill you. A moment later, hand in hand with Reliana, you hear nothing more as you step into the void. You immediately feel a pulling sensation as if you are accelerating. There's nothing but darkness all around with a chill penetrating your bones. Vaguely, you sense that Reliana's hand is still in yours, though the feeling is weak. After what feels like an eternity and an instant, the feeling of speed suddenly dissipates and you start to feel warm again. Suddenly, you're through. Though you're not inside a building as you thought you would be. You're standing in what seems to be an old courtyard. It was likely a beautiful place at one point, but is now nothing more than fallen stones and weeds. Off to one side, examining some of these stones, stands Tharine, Tosca, and Jorum. Well, that was different. Where are we? Don't know. Seems like the doorway was some kind of portal. We could be literally anywhere. Oh, it was definitely a portal. My skin is still tingling from the overwhelming magical force. Reliana releases your hand, stepping forward to join the discussion. Look, the shadows are all but unchanged. It's the same time. We can't have traveled all that far. The group falls quiet, looking around to take in her words. The silence is short-lived. Kesari suddenly comes rushing through the portal, cursing various gods to their own damnations as she trips and falls to the ground. I hate all of you. I can't believe you left me alone. Wait, where the hell are we? No idea, but we should probably look around. You go with Tharine, I'll go with Jorum. Splitting up, the group begins to scour the area looking for any sign of what to do next. The search is short-lived, however. You quickly discover that the area is quite small, surrounded by impassable magical barriers. Gathering back in the middle, you struggle to figure out how to proceed. Effin sent us here for a reason. There has to be something here. You saw as well as we did, there isn't. So we just wasted our time here? You made me go through that pit of darkness for nothing? As you're talking, Rayliana turns and walks away from the rest of you. She approaches the doorway, studying the stonework along its edge. Hey guys, I think... No one told you to follow us, Kesray. Just admit it. You were scared to go alone. As if. Nothing scares me. Well, nothing other than the thought of the Grimlord coming on to me. The lady doth protest too much, methinks. Yeah, there is definitely something. Trust me, you couldn't handle this. Anyway, we're getting off topic here. What do we do now? Just go back through Satan's asshole? Gross, thanks for the mental image. Rayliana decides to give up on getting the attention of the group and pushes on one of the stones that seems to be protruding from the otherwise perfect stonework. With a flash of light and color, the void in the doorway shifts and shimmers, taking on a new form and coloration. The girl steps back a little, watching as it transforms into a plainly visible portal. She raises her voice and calls out again. Guys, look! Turning, everyone else finally takes notice of the change. The group moves over to stand next to Ray as they look in awe at the changes. Oh fuck, she changed it from Satan's asshole to a unicorn's asshole. Are we really gonna do this again? What's the matter, Kes Ray? Are you chicken? Nobody calls me chicken. She immediately turns and jumps through the portal, quickly disappearing. Can't believe that actually worked. Tosca grins at you before stepping through the portal herself, being whisked away once more. She's quickly followed by Tharine and then Joram. Ray takes your hand again before looking up at you. Well, I can say that this has been anything but boring, at least. Before you can respond, she steps forward, dragging you into the unicorn along with her. And let me get some water, guys. My throat's kind of parched. Ah, yeah, there we go. Before you can respond, she steps forward, dragging you into the unicorn along with her. The transport is significantly easier this time. There's no darkness, no speed effect, no chill. It's almost instant. As if walking through nothing, you immediately step into another stone area. This one seems to have been maintained, as the stone structures are still standing. There are several platforms crossing a water-filled central area, leading across to yet another doorway with a shimmering portal within its framework. Looking up, you see there is no ceiling. The entire area is being filled with natural light. Tharine, Tosca, and Kesray are staring at the end of the entryway, checking out the stones leading across the water. Okay, look, before you can even say it, I know there are traps. I mean, come on, who would do this and not place traps? Well, I'm so proud of you, finally, but there's a problem. I can sense the traps, but I can't narrow down where they are. Any one of those platforms could be trapped, or none of them could be. I just can't tell. Well, we have to move forward. Standing around here isn't going to get us anywhere. I'll go first. If Tosca can't tell where they are, then there's no point in her going first. At least with me, maybe my magic can help. Before anyone can object, you move forward, squeezing between the women and standing at the water's edge. Taking a moment to calm the nerves, you look forward and make your first move. Okay. Two steps forward, two steps back. Exhaling slowly, you tentatively stretch your body, moving your foot forward onto the platform. As soon as you put pressure onto the stone, the chamber rumbles slightly, some hidden mechanism being triggered. You try to pull back, but your foot refuses to move, stuck firmly to the stone by some unseen force. Second later, several small darts come flying out of the wall on your left. They mostly miss, but one of them hits you in the arm. Immediately, your arm begins to burn as if acid had been poured on the skin. You cry out in agony, the girls behind you gasping audibly. Grabbing the impact area, you flood the tissues with your limited healing magic, trying to force whatever is causing the pain back out. After a moment of struggle, you finally find relief and take some time to recover before making your next decision. Exhaling slowly, you tentatively move your foot forward onto the platform. Nothing seems to happen, so you move fully onto the platform, relaxing just a bit before deciding what to do next. Swinging your arms to gain some momentum, you throw yourself forward. Landing solidly onto the platform, you brace yourself for whatever is to come. After a moment, nothing happens and you relax a bit before deciding what to do next. Moving quickly, you jump forward and land on the platform, your arms still tingling a bit. Looking around, nothing seems to happen as the room remains calm. As you prepare to move again, something suddenly grabs your leg. Looking down, you see an arm has emerged from the water and is now trying to pull you down. Quickly focusing, you pour your magical energy into your hands, a ball of energy shooting out and striking the hand. It quickly pulls away, but you can feel your leg throbbing where it had taken hold. Doing your best to fight through the sensation, you prepare for the next step. Confident, you move forward again and jump to the next platform. Putting your arms out to the side for balance, you await the result of your choice. When nothing occurs, you prepare for the next step. The rest of the group makes their way across the water, taking their time to maintain balance on the stones. Jorn is the last one to cross, barely making the last jump, as he partially loses his footing. Woo, that would have been embarrassing. I'm not the type that usually gets wet around the Grimlord. Kesrae groans and turns to move up and out the other side. She stops and gasps, grabbing your arm in surprise. Holy shit, what is that? Turning to look, you see one of the Groglocks seeming to float in the air before you. He seems to shimmer slightly. Kesrae quickly pulls out her sword and moves it to a guard stance. Jara moves forward, standing to her right. It's not real, it's a projection. I can't feel anything other than weak magic. Kesrae steps up and runs her sword through the creature, testing for herself. The blade passes directly through with no resistance. Well, that is both cool and annoying. So, what is it doing here? A voice booms out, echoing through the chamber as if in response to the question.
You think you stopped me? Dare follow? Wait, you can hear me? Can hear, no brain, human. Stop now, go back, no need for pain.
So, can we assume that you're Nishk then?
Yes, name Nishk, powerful now. You know, take. Kill if need.
We prefer not to kill you if possible, Nishk. You could just surrender, go back to your people, and let them help you.
Never see power. Fear me.
The image seems to start moving as if casting a spell, going through repeated motions. But nothing happens. No matter what Nishk does, there's no change around you. After a moment, his eyes seem to go wide, and he stops the gesturing.
Oh, no. Spell only work here. Have to fix. Go away!
The image shimmers and distorts before fading away, leaving the chamber in silence again.
Well, that was something.
Yeah, the guy seems to have bumped more than his ass on the ground while hopping around. If that's what we're up against, this should be a cakewalk. The guy obviously has no idea how to work the power he has.
Don't know. That might make him more dangerous. Who knows what he might do on accident?
Grim, do you really think his people might be able to help him?
No idea, really, but from what I've gathered so far, I honestly don't think that his actions are his own. I think he's most likely under someone else's control.
Raeliana falls silent again, seeming to be lost in thought. So what do we do with him once we find him? If he can be saved, we should do that, right? Bring him back into the light.
More importantly, if he is being controlled by someone else, isn't that person the one we should be going after?
Kill the puppet master and the puppet will fall silent.
Well, we can stand around talking like this for the rest of the day, or we can keep moving. We don't have enough information to make any decisions right now.
Agreed, let's go. Looks like the path ahead actually goes inside, so hopefully we're almost there.
No one argues against it, so you all move forward once more, Kesrae taking the lead.
Your guess was correct, as you find yourself walking down a long hallway towards a well-lit area ahead. The place looks immaculate and seemingly well cared for, although there's no sign of habitation. You can hear the soft sound of flowing water coming from ahead as gentle, soothing music plays from an unseen source. Before moving forward very far, Joram pulls you to the side and whispers to you. Yo, there's an insane amount of magic here. The structure itself feels almost alive with power.
Are we in danger?
Nah, I don't think so. Nothing about it feels evil. But the amount of power I can sense, if I were to put a number to it, it'd be over 9,000! Okay, that's a strange way to measure it, but whatever. So long as it's safe, let's move forward. Okay, that's where we're gonna end it for now, guys. Things are gonna get interesting. Is this gonna be a cakewalk, or is it gonna actually be a test of skill? You'll find out the week after next when Between Two Worlds continues. Remember, next week, we've got Monster College and Lust Academy. I'm out, guys, for the night. You have a